Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, William Scott Spears, back with you here on this getaway Black Friday 2020, November 27th, 18 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Mike Wilson live here this morning in a studio decked out for the holiday season. And Mike's show, The Mike Wilson Show, airs every Monday from 5:10 to 6 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. And 2 weeks of big guests coming up. If you watch the show Hee Haw, they had a group on that particular show known as the Hee Haw Honeys, and one of them will be on this coming Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m. live on The Mike Wilson Show. And the following week, though, there will be a commemorative show of Pearl Harbor with Fred Malone, a regular guest around here. So a couple big weeks coming up. Now, Mike, these two shows, what do you hope the audience obtains from them?
Well, I hope, well, with the Hee Haw Honey, I hope that it's good entertainment and brings back some memories of watching Hee Haw as well as other shows that she'd been in. Of course, President Roosevelt had said December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. I don't think we should forget what happened that day. I think it's very important. So, and that's going to be what we're going to be stressing is what happened, how it affected Marion County and the rest of the nation. And I think it's important, like 911, you know, that we remember what happened and not forget those folks that that gave their lives for their country and the survivors that have had to live with that ever since.
Do you think people have a short memory when it comes to things like Pearl Harbor, 9/11, D-Day?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, for a while you're in shock. For a while you're dwelling on it and doing what you can, you know, you get real patriotic. And then after a while you get kind of, you know, you just kind of, okay, go on with life and forget about that. Yeah, I think that does happen.
Why do you think, as Roosevelt said, a day that will live in infamy, but now here we are, what anniversary is this of D-Day?
D-Day?
Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor. 1941 from 2020. Be 10 minus 1 would be 9. That would be 12 80, minus
81?
4, 89.
Oh, 89 years.
Yeah.
So is 89 right? It was 41? Wouldn't it
yes,
be?
Yes, it was 1941. 10 minus 1 would be 9. 11 minus 11 minus 4 would be...
Well, that can't be right, though, because it would be 19
be
years...
Yeah,
79.
It? Yeah, 79.
Yeah, 79. So 79 years. But what Roosevelt said, is it living true? Is it something that in 2020 lives as a day of infamy?
Well, those folks that were around, of course, most of those folks are gone now. So we're a couple generations removed. Now, I've known some World War II veterans. I've known some World War I veterans in my life. But most of those folks are gone, and we will have a World War II veteran on the December 7th show with some of his remembrances. And I think it's going to be good for us to remember what happened and to honor those folks that were affected by what happened that day.
You know, even 9/11, which this year was 19 years, at the time, it was one of those things we'll never forget. It changed the world.
Right.
Did it? Now 19 years later?
It did temporarily.
Yeah.
The churches were full for a while, you know, and then people, you know. It changed the world a lot. And it does still affect us. I mean, look at the security and things that have changed. And again, I think there's getting more lax in some of those things as we get further away from it. So it's still affecting us, but not like it did for the first couple of years.
Well, I mean, I remember when everybody was worried if there was going to be a second attack.
Right.
I remember there were colors. There was a color scheme about the terror level. There were what you're supposed to do if there's a terror attack. Osama bin Laden certainly was on people's minds until he was captured, which took quite a few years.
It did, yes.
So it just, but after that, it seemed like once you got the culprit and a decade had passed, people really do only talk about it on the date.
Right, and I think there's getting to be less talk about it, even on the, on the news and so on, than what there was early on.
What do you think it is about the human condition that we do that?
I think we want to forget. I think we want to get on with our lives. Like when COVID is eradicated and gone, we'll remember for a short time, then we'll go on with our lives and forget, except for telling our grandkids and so on, forget what we had to go through during that time.
Well, it's history, but yet people, I think, just see it as that.
Right.
You know, I think when it's not directly affecting your life, then it just becomes history.
I agree with that. And it affected our lives, Scott.
Yes.
That was our version of Pearl Harbor in our lifetime, I think.
Well, I just think, and obviously I was not alive during Pearl Harbor.
Wasn't either, by the way.
Right, but I do think, and it's hard to say this because I'm sure the people who lived during Pearl Harbor might have a different opinion, but the way it happened and the sheer lives lost was media being so much more in your face at that time, I thought 9/11 was much more traumatic, probably would have been, than Pearl Harbor, because Pearl Harbor, they went after military.
Right.
Civilians were who were got attacked on 9/11.
Well, sure.
And 9/11 was also, there was no war going on in the world. Nobody suspected. That was just a nice, beautiful weather Tuesday.
Oh, it was. It was.
And then out of the blue, all of a sudden, everything changed.
Yes, it did.
Pearl Harbor was right in the middle of a war, so there were also other problems going on around
right.
the world that we were very aware of.
Not completely unexpected, in other words.
Probably not. And but that event was maybe more life-changing because there was always a lot of talk of, because that is what got the United States in the war.
Right.
So would we have gotten in soon enough if that would not have happened, to overtake the Axis powers?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, there were a lot of people that were of the mind that, that's happening over halfway across the world. That doesn't affect us. Well, it did affect us very quickly.
You know what's interesting about those wars, World War II and Vietnam and World War I to an extent,
mm-hmm.
which were very dramatic at the time, and really even here at home were dramatic events. You know, you didn't want to see Gold Star families. You didn't want to see anything bad going on. You didn't want this to happen again. But now, all these years later, when we talk about maintaining a presence overseas so things don't happen like that again, most people, I think, are against it. They don't want you to be overseas. We need to keep our nose out of other countries' businesses is what, but what precipitated that were world wars. We were keeping our nose out of other countries' business, and look what happened.
Oh, certainly. We have a reason to be over in those countries, and like you said, to kind of keep those things from precipitating.
Yes, yeah. But it's funny how, you know, I always say, no matter what the event is, it could be personal in your life, it could be a national event, it could be anything, if you look at anything, there's a reason it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something caused it. We didn't just decide one day, let's go have a presence in countries around the world that's going to cost money. We did it because we about lost what was called a world war.
Right.
And could have ended very badly.
Oh, yes. Could have ended a whole lot differently. And we might not be free to say the things that we're saying on the radio today if it had gone the other way.
Well, that is true. Now, I do want to update people on the whole Turkey situation that I was having this week, because I think we had such great calls on Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, about this. Now, what happened was, this was all about cooking. What happened was, I've had Thanksgiving at my house for, you know, more than 10 years now. And because I think this is probably the case with most people, whoever has the Thanksgiving dinner usually cooks the turkey at their house.
Right.
Because it's a big object to transport. And what I have always done is bought it either Sunday or Monday night, because that's enough time to thaw it.
Right.
And then you cook it. Well, last week, I went on Monday, and I bought the turkey. It was a 19-pound turkey. I bought this turkey on Monday night, and to this moment, I still really don't know, because all the years I've done it, I don't remember this being an issue, but I put it in the sink Monday night.
Okay.
Because it's a 19-pound turkey, and I eat and always usually have at my house on Thanksgiving Day about 4 o'clock. So you put the turkey in that day about 11, and you're good. Everything's fine. Well, I put the turkey in the sink on Monday, and Wednesday morning before I came in here, I felt it, and it felt very thawed.
Okay.
Very, very thawed. And I thought, you know, you don't want to eat a turkey that has thawed out too early.
Right.
Because at that point, it still had a whole nother day in the sink before I was going to cook it. So I came in here and was telling this to people on the air on Wednesday, and we got calls galore from listeners saying, you know, you're going to get salmonella. You don't put it in the sink until the night before. You know, it's been in there since Monday. It's been in there too long. Turkeys can't be warm. So that's kind of where we left it. Now, in my own mind, the problem with I don't remember what I did in past years, because I've been doing this for 10 years. Nobody's ever gotten sick eating a turkey at my house. So I don't know if I did put it in the refrigerator in past years until the night before. I do remember one year what may have precipitated this was I got a turkey, and maybe I had put it in the refrigerator, and it didn't thaw out totally by Thanksgiving morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that might have precipitated putting it in the sink a little early. So we had this big conversation on Wednesday, and I told people I was going to go home and check the turkey, and if it wasn't where it needed to be, then I would work on this problem. Well, here's what ended up happening. Now the rest of the story will be told. I went home and I felt the turkey again. Now, it did not have a smell, because somebody told me you smell the turkey, and if it smells like rotten eggs or sulfur,
mm-hmm.
that it's spoiled.
Okay.
I smelled it, and it did not smell, but I did not want to chance anything. So Wednesday night, I threw the old turkey out. And I went out Wednesday night, and I bought a new turkey, because I learned that if you put it in a bowl of water, every 30 minutes is equal to a pound of thawing out. So I went out and got another 19-pound turkey, started thawing it in a bowl
mm-hmm.
of cold water on Wednesday night. So it was thawed out by yesterday at 11 when I put it in the oven. So, turkey came out fine. Many people ate it last night. There are no reports of anybody getting sick. I ate it. But now, here was the weird thing. The popper, you know,
mm-hmm.
the popper that
yes.
all the turkeys mm-hmm. have now? Okay. Which my turkeys have always had. This turkey I went and bought on Wednesday night. Yesterday, I'm unwrapping it, getting ready to put it in the oven. And you know, there's usually that plastic on the leg of the turkey
okay.
because the giblets are in there and
right.
all that sort of thing. There was no plastic.
Really?
I was not there at all. And I kept thinking, am I missing it? Am I just not seeing it? Because the giblets came right out and the turkey neck came right out, which I threw away. But there was no, that plastic thing was not there. And I thought, boy, this is very strange. I've never had a turkey that didn't have the legs kind of taken with that plastic thing. Well, then I could not find the button, the popper, which I thought, well, where's the popper? I don't see it anywhere. So I ended up putting it in the refrigerator without the popper and got out the meat thermometer to check the temperature. And then when we finally got the turkey out and we're carving it up, we found the meat thermometer, kind of, or the popper. We found the popper, which, thank goodness at that point, had popped, which I guess means the turkey was done.
Okay, good.
We found it, but it was on the bottom of the turkey.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know why in the world. I mean, I guess... So, well, here's the question I'm asking the audience today, different from Wednesday. Is there a bottom and a top to a turkey? Because we got into this discussion last night after finding this. Did we put the turkey in upside down? And, well, what is upside down? Is there a certain way you're supposed to cook a turkey?
Well, turkey's usually on its back because, you know, its legs are up like this.
Right.
So there is an upside down and right side up, I think.
But how do you know which is which?
Well, the side that the legs are sticking up is...
That's down?
Is the belly side, and that should be up. Right?
Well, okay. Well, if we're going in that route, then the popper was on the wrong side.
Okay. It could have been.
So my question is, 740-383-9944, is there a right side up or an upside down to a turkey? Because when the person asked me that, when we finally did find the popper, which was on the bottom, which nobody could have seen, which, by the way, did not have, they usually have a little red on the top.
Right.
So you can see them. This one did not, which is maybe why I didn't see it when I was putting it in. But is there a right side up and an upside down to a turkey? Does anybody have any answers to this? And there's also another question I want to ask because this is a big weekend for this. And again, the number 740-383-9944. A lot of people will be eating turkey leftovers because turkey's a big thing. People usually buy more turkey than they need. Oh, here we go. This is right side up or upside down. Let's find out. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Turkey question. Every recipe that I've ever seen says to cook the turkey breast side up.
Now, okay, now breast side up. Now, so that's the leg side, right?
The legs would be sticking kind of up, yeah.
Right. So I'm pretty sure that's what I did because when I was looking at the turkey yesterday, when I pulled it out, the legs... You know, I could grab a hold of the legs. So the legs were on top.
Right. So, yeah, then you had it right. That's funny that it would be on the bottom.
Right. So I don't, and also the red popper. And have you ever bought a turkey that didn't have the plastic putting the legs together so the giblets and stuff didn't fall out?
I actually have.
Really? Yeah.
The turkey that I bought this year, I was surprised, didn't have the neck or giblets even in it. I kept digging and looking, and I thought, it's got to be in there somewhere, and it just wasn't. And that was the first for me.
Now, I had the neck, and I had the giblets in the bag, but there was nothing holding them in to the inside of the turkey, which there normally is. There's normally that plastic thing that keeps the legs shut.
Contraption.
Yeah. But it was not there, and as soon as I pulled the turkey out of the bag, the neck didn't fall out, but the giblet bag just fell right out, and then I could easily get the neck out because it's just right inside there. But and I'll tell you something else. Now, what do you want the turkey to be at thermometer wise to be done? Because you don't want to eat undercooked turkey.
I do my turkey different. I don't even use a thermometer. Bake mine at 500 for 1 hour.
Oh, 500 for an hour.
And leave it. I leave it in the oven all night long. The oven is shut off, but it steams in its own juices, and it literally falls. The meat falls off the bone when I get up in the morning and take it out of the oven. So I don't actually ever check the temperature. You can't do that with a really big turkey. It will never get done.
Well, see, that's the big... Well, and I can say... I mean, do you consider 19 pounds to be a big turkey?
Oh, yes. That's very big.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And the interesting thing was, because as I say, I did, this is the first year I didn't have the popper. I always went by the popper. So not finding it until after the turkey was done, I'm using this meat thermometer to try to see if it's done. And I would jam, because I thought 165 is what the turkey should be. So okay. I'm jamming the meat thermometer. Now, if I put it in the leg, it would go up to like 170. And if I put it in other parts of the, it would go up to 165, 170. But if I jammed it in the deep part of the turkey, it would go down to like 155. So I ended up cooking this thing far longer because I wanted to get the middle of that turkey up to 165.
But the middle is just an empty space, though, right? You want to stick it in the meatiest part of the bird, is what they say.
Well, see, but...
And that's where you'll get your true temperature.
But now where... See, where is the meatiest part in a...
The
in
meatiest
a right
part
side
would
of,
be in the breast.
Which is on the bottom, on the top.
On the top.
Well, you know what was also weird about this turkey? Most of the meat was on the bottom, which is maybe why they put the popper on the bottom, which is unusual, that most
That's
of the meat would be
why,
on the bottom.
Yeah. Right, yeah, they would stick it in wherever the most meat is, so to make sure it got completely done.
And how
which
do
you... kind of odd, though.
Right, well, how do you... I just remember the top of this turkey... As I'm starting to shave it off and carve it, there was more meat on the leg, it seemed, than anything else. And I thought, boy, how did this turkey end up being 19 pounds? Because there's not much turkey on this at all. Well, once I flipped it, well, there's all the meat.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't have that much experience with birds that big, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they're built different.
Well, in any event, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was very nice. I just had my mom and brother and my daughter and just a few of us, and it was perfect.
Now, do you think people adhered by the laws and are adhering by them today to distance?
No.
Yeah.
No, I saw a lot of friends on Facebook posting, you know, pictures of 15 or more people and... Oh, my goodness, and that's why I really think the numbers in December are going to be astronomical.
What can the hospitals do? I mean, we are hearing right now that they're just about at capacity or at capacity. What does a hospital do when you don't have a room?
I was told I had some tests done at Marion General before a surgery a couple months back, and the person there told me that when all of this first hit back in the early part of the year, they had a contingency plan to open a third floor or a fourth floor specifically for COVID patients. So I don't know if they still have that.
I think they've done that. The fourth floor at Marion General is now the COVID floor.
Have they? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I my cousin is a nurse in ICU, and she said it's packed.
Well, I keep thinking if we do, because it's easy to say that we're going to have this awful December, but my only concern is the hospital, because if it's
yes.
full, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. The CDC put something out back in July that I just came across. Someone shared it, and it was a plan for, if things got really out of control, setting up tents and schools specifically for patients, and, you know, they would be off-site from hospitals, and whether that's still a plan or even if that's something that our country would even do, I don't know. But I sure hope our government comes up with some kind of backup plan, because it could get really bad.
It's good to have a plan B, that's for sure.
Yes.
Well, hey, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yes, glad you had a good Thanksgiving, and nobody died from salmonella.
It's always good not to have any bodies at the end of your Thanksgiving dinner. No stray bodies.
Very true.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that brings up a question. I wonder, does an individual put those poppers on the turkey, or is that a machine doing that? And, you know, like you said, that part was the meatiest part, so maybe human beings putting them in based on where the meatiest part of that turkey is.
And it could be, but I just think you should have some kind of red dot on it or something so you can find it, because you typically would not look for it.
That's true.
On the underneath. And if you cooked it upside down, would it cook slower? Would it cook faster?
I don't know.
And also, what is the if you are not using a popper, which I ended up not using yesterday, what is the temperature supposed to be? Is the whole thing supposed to be 165 or just certain areas? Now, these are questions we're asking right now. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back, 740-383-9944. But is there an upside down and a right side up to a turkey? And why would the popper be on the bottom where you clearly could not see it? And in the end, what are the temps supposed to be like in this turkey? Is the whole turkey supposed to be about the same temperature? Mine certainly was not, so I kept cooking it longer and longer and longer. Now, the meat turned out okay, but you certainly don't want to serve an undercooked turkey. At least I wouldn't. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Cook your turkey with breast side up, and the meatiest part of the turkey is in the thigh, which, you know, the leg and the thigh are kind of connected, needs to be at least 165.
Now, here's an interesting thing. The leg was the warmest part of the turkey, because I did, the first place I stuck the thermometer, because of the way this turkey was laid out not being very meaty, I stuck it in the leg, and the leg was 170, I think. But when I pulled it out of the leg and stuck it into the breast area, it was, like I say, 160, 155. There was a big variance. So I should have been okay right then when the leg was 170. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the whole turkey does not need to be 165, 170.
Well, usually when the leg and thigh area is 165, the bird is cooked.
So then why is the rest of the bird not at that temperature? Well, see, that's just, it's confusing to me, and that's why I ended up cooking it longer.
The breast should have been at least that also. Unless you stuck your thermometer down and you hit the cavity, which is just air.
Well, and that could have been, because you can't see the inside of the turkey.
Well, the inside of the turkey is hollow.
Well, right, but
so there isn't anything. It's the meat that you have to worry about.
Well, here's what I think happened, because clearly, as now two people have told me, I did have the turkey the right way. But for some reason, the popper and most of the meat were on the other side of this weird turkey.
Uh-huh.
So, I think what happened was, and not knowing that at the time, I stuck the turkey in the leg, which was very meaty, and it did go up to 170. But when I stuck it in the breast, which I would expect to be a very meaty area, but it was not, the temperature dropped way down. So I'm thinking now, maybe it was hollow.
You went all the way through to the cavity.
Right. So maybe that was a hollow area. But the meaty areas, like a leg, are really where you want to do the test.
Yeah, it's the leg, the leg and the thigh area. The thigh is the meatiest part of the bird, where that temperature needs to be at least 165.
Now, do you do a thermometer, or do you take a look at the popper?
I do a thermometer.
Yeah.
And I gauge it on basically how much my turkey weighs, and mine's at 350 degrees, and then I had a 16-pounder this year, and she took about 2.5 hours or so, and turned out perfect.
Well, that's my understanding of how long you're supposed to cook just about any turkey is, I think the recommendation is anywhere between 350 and 400 for 2 to 2.5 hours.
Yeah, well, again, depending on the size, you know, a smaller bird would require less time. A larger bird would require more.
That's probably true. Even a big bird, I mean, would you ever want to cook that over 3 hours? I don't know that you would.
Well, I wouldn't think so.
Right.
I've never had that experience, so
what?
I usually go between, 14, 16. I try to stay in that area.
Well, one question I want to ask you though is what used to go on? Because I remember years and years and years ago, before the turkey bags and before the poppers and all these things, that these turkeys were big, big, big productions.
Uh-huh.
And you had to cook them for a long time, and you had to thaw them out for a long time, and you had to do all these things. Why has that stopped? I mean, 2.5 hours is not a long time. And people were getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to prepare these things, and that just is not necessary anymore. What changed?
Depends on what time you eat. We eat later on in the afternoon. A lot of people want to eat by 11 or 12, so that's why women were getting up early in the morning, putting the bird in. Also, you know, the bird needs to sit for a while to let all the juices meld back together.
And
bird.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great.
Good. Good.
It was small. I had my daughter and grandson here. My other daughter, husband, and kids couldn't make it because COVID. Kind of scared, and so I took food out to them. And it was good. We had a really, really nice day. Ended up playing Uno last night after dinner.
Very nice. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in.
Okie doke, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, again, 740-383-9944. If the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling in. Right side up, upside down to a turkey, that's what we're talking about. And what would have happened if let's say I had located the popper, should I have just cooked the turkey upside down? Would that have made any difference?
Good question. But you did mention earlier that you were checking the smell of the turkey. Being what it is, wouldn't the turkey always have a foul smell?
Ah, a pun. A pun. Well, that's considered a pun, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, a pun. I like a good pun. But I did not know that turkeys had obviously all meat spoils, but I did not know that a turkey would have a very bad smell if it spoiled.
Yeah, I imagine the same with chicken or any other fowl like that. It would be the same.
Now, red meat, you know when it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. There's an odor there.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if I would have cooked it the other way, now knowing that's where the popper was and that's where the meat was. Would that have had any consequence? Why do we cook them that way? Why do we cook them leg up, breast up? Why don't we put those on the bottom? Is there any reason we do this? Does anybody cook their turkey another way? Well, let me know. We got about 10 minutes left here. 740-383-9944.
Now, I have an aunt that doesn't even cook a turkey like that. She actually slices it and fries it.
Well, that's not bad.
It's delicious.
What about that 500-degree thing? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
All right. When you're cooking a turkey, we've all done it all our lives or whatever, you put the breast side up. When people used to put the stuffing in the turkey, it took that way. But regardless of whether you had a popper or not, that's the way it was always put in. And then we always put, don't matter how good it, the night before around 11, 12 o'clock, we always put our turkey in the oven on around 250, covered it up, and let it cook all night long, and it held the moisture. What it did, it held the moisture, the juice, in the turkey, And then about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, we turned it up to 350. And you finished cooking it. By that time, it had a nice glaze, nice crisp coating on the skin. And then by turning it up about 350, and by about 11 o'clock, it was completely dead. And then it held all the moisture into it. And it made it juicy.
But now, if I did cook it, if I did cook it the other way, yeah, is that going to have any consequence?
I did the same thing last night. I was getting ready to pull it out here in a little bit, and with those other poppers, the turkey will be ready to come out here in about an hour, and it will be completely done. There will be no places is not done with it.
Well, that's interesting. Well, hey, thank you for calling in.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Again, phone lines are open. Busy signal just means we're on the line with somebody else. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. I am curious if the turkey, what do you think, Mike? If the turkey is cooked upside down, which now we know there is a right side up, mm-hmm, if you cook it upside down, does that change anything?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Have you ever cooked a turkey?
I have never cooked a turkey.
It's a project.
I'm sure it is.
It's a project. It's a bigger project than you would think.
Now, here's another question. What do you do with the giblets? My mom used to take the giblets and make a casserole with them.
See, I throw them away because I'm not even sure really what giblets are.
Yeah, they're like liver, gizzard.
Right.
Those parts, which I like myself. But she would make a casserole. I wonder what other people do with the giblets.
Yeah, does anybody do anything with the neck? Because the neck's in there. They obviously leave it in there for a purpose.
Right. And lots of people like to eat the neck. I've never had turkey neck, but I guess it's good meat.
Well, this is a good question. What do you do with the giblets? What do you do with the neck? Now, see, I have always just thrown them away. They immediately go into the garbage. And a matter of fact, there was somebody at my house yesterday, which there normally isn't when I'm cooking the turkey, and they immediately... they grabbed them and just threw them right in the
really?
Garbage. Oh, yeah. So I'm guessing most people don't do anything with the giblets or the turkey neck. So does anybody do anything with the giblets or the turkey neck? Because I might have an extra for you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 55 minutes past this hour. Don't forget, Mike and I will be here all morning until 1 o'clock, I guess all afternoon. And on Monday, on Mike's show from 5:10 to 6 p.m., there will be a Hee Haw Honey from the classic TV show Hee Haw. And then on Monday, December 7th, the day of Pearl Harbor, there will be a Pearl Harbor-themed show with Fred Malone and a veteran of World War II. So that's coming up Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., 740-383-9944. What do you do with the giblets and the turkey neck? Apparently nobody does anything. See, apparently everybody throws them away. Nobody wants them.
I love liver. I can't imagine other people not eating it.
So you continue to eat it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No, but not in a casserole form anymore.
Well, I buy chicken livers at a local chicken place here in town quite often, and it's similar.
But so why does everybody throw them away out of the turkey? Do they just don't? Because that's not a common thing. I mean, sweet potatoes, pumpkin pie, stuffing, turkey, but there's no... people don't talk about the giblets or the turkey neck.
No, that's true. They don't. So maybe a lot of people do throw it away. I'm wondering if some people maybe chop that up and use it in their stuffing.
Oh, the neck?
Possibly. There are a lot of bones in the neck. I mean, you'd have to get rid of the bones, but yes.
See, I just... It does not look good to me.
Yeah.
And I have no desire to do anything. But any recipes, any ideas about the giblets... or the turkey neck. It would be interesting to know if anybody has done anything with them, and apparently they haven't. But they are there for people, 740-383-9944. Now, the big question I have, which we'll probably carry over into next hour, and I think this is the most important question to ask this time of year, how long can you eat these turkey leftovers?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, because
That can be your other problem.
Right.
You know, you get past the salmonella, you get past the thawing, you get past the undercooked turkey. You know, everybody right now has turkey leftovers in their refrigerator. How? And they'll put them on salads, they'll put them on sandwiches, they'll make turkey gravy, they'll do all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
But how long can you eat this stuff? Because there's so much of it left over. How long can you continue to eat the turkey once you put it in your refrigerator before you would be dead?
Yeah,
because it'll do you in.
Yeah, very, very good question. So I love cold turkey after
all the best.
Yeah, sandwiches, put a little piece of Swiss cheese on there and some mayo. Oh, I'm getting hungry now.
Now see, what I like to do with it is I like to put it in a salad.
Okay,
and then
that's
put some ranch dressing on it.
Sure.
Very good.
Sure.
But how long can I continue to do that without any worry? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. How long can you hold turkey leftovers and still have them be edible? That's the question. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm still curious to see what people do with the giblets, if anybody does anything with them.
Well, it's interesting that we're not hearing any response on the giblet or the neck, which tells me that maybe that's a bygone thing.
It could be. I'm old-fashioned, I know.
So the giblets are just organs that were inside the turkey?
Yes, yes.
But why are they in that bag?
Because you're supposed to take them out and fix them separately, I do believe.
Yeah, but I mean, what they just take the when they're killing the turkey, they make sure to grab those things and throw them in a bag.
That I don't know. I oh, here's a call.
Well, didn't there used to be something with the turkey heart? Is that a giblet?
Yeah, yeah, I do believe it is.
All right, go ahead, caller.
The giblets I use, I cook them in with the turkey, and then I use the broth for gravy.
Oh. That sounds good.
Now, what's the recipe for... I hate gravy, but what's the recipe for...
Oh, that's right. You don't like gravy?
No, no. So what's the recipe for those who do for a giblet gravy?
Well, it adds flavor to the broth. You season your turkey. There's always a ton of broth. You skim the fat off the top of it. And then I take that, add some flour, a little bit of milk, and cook your gravy.
Well, I
but
bet
the,
it sounds
the,
good
the
for
meat,
people.
The
yeah.
meat, the giblets, of the neck, and I mean, I don't, little pieces, parts fall off of it, but it just adds flavor to the broth, and that's how I make my gravy.
So, but the neck is not a part of that?
It's just cooked in... It flavors. I use it more as a flavoring. I don't take the skin or the meat off the neck.
Oh, it's interesting. Well, hey, thank you.
Sure.
All right. Again, we're looking for what do you do with the giblets? Does anybody still use them? Now, there's a gravy recipe for turkey giblets that people could do. And how long can you continue to eat the turkey after Thanksgiving, the turkey leftovers? I guess is what we would call those. Go ahead, caller.
We were looking at Channel 10 this morning. They said you can use turkey meat and for four days. After 4 days, get rid of it.
So by Sunday, if it hasn't been eaten, let it go.
Yep.
That's a good tip. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was on Channel 10 this morning. But, I think people keep it longer. And also people will do it. I know people who, if they don't eat it today, that's it.
Well, you can also freeze it.
But, see, how long would you keep hamburger? Like, if you cooked up a hamburger, and maybe you cooked up three, but you only ate one. See, I wouldn't eat a hamburger more than one day later that was already cooked.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'd eat it the next day.
Right.
But I wouldn't eat it after that.
Mm-hmm.
So how long do you keep the turkey? Now, we've just heard 4 days, but what's your opinion? When we come back, because we're going to take a 10-minute break, come back with more Mike Wilson here on WWGH Radio.
Stash away. Stash away at all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet, mount to the ice, so up to the